Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Canto 7, Chapter 11, Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. And there is a summary written by someone. This chapter describes the general principles by following which a human being, and especially one who is interested in advancing in spiritual life, can become perfect. By hearing about the characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj, Maharaj Yudhisthira became extremely pleased. Now he inquired from Narada Muni about the actual religion of a human being and about special characteristics of Varnashram Dharma, which marks the highest status of human civilization. When Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni about these matters, Narada Muni stopped giving his own statements and quoted statements by Lord Narayan, for he is the supreme authority for giving religious codes. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Every human being is expected to acquire 30 qualities, such as truthfulness, mercy, and austerity. The process of following the principles of religion is known as Sanatan Dharma, or eternal religious system. The Varnashram system delineates the divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. It also sets forth a system of samskaras, Garbhadana samskara. The ceremony for beginning a child must be observed by the higher sections of people, namely the dvijas. One who follows the Garbhadana samskara system is actually twice born. But those who deviate from the principles of Varnashram Dharma are called dvija bandhus. The principal occupation for a brahmana are worshipping the deity, teaching others how to worship the deity, studying the Vedic literatures, teaching the Vedic literatures, accepting charity from others, and again giving charity to others. A brahmana should make his livelihood from these six occupational duties. The duties of a kshatriya is to give protection to the citizens and levy taxes upon them, but it is forbidden to tax the brahmanas. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement should therefore be exempt from government taxation. That's the BBT. Kshatriyas may tax everyone but the brahmanas. Vaishyas should cultivate the land, produce food grains, and protect the cows. Whereas the shudras, who by quality never become brahmanas, kshatriyas or vaishyas, should serve the higher classes and be satisfied. Other means of livelihood are also prescribed for the brahmanas, and these are four. Shalina, Yayavara, Shila, and Unchana. Each of these occupational duties is successfully better. One who is in a lower grade of social life cannot accept the profession of a higher class unless necessary. In terms of emergency, all the classes but the kshatriyas may accept professional duties of others. This means the livelihood known as Rita, Shilochana, Amrita, Ayachita, Mrita, Yachana, Pamrita, Karshana, and Satyanrita, Vanijya, may be accepted by everyone else but the kshatriyas. For a brahmana or a kshatriya engaging in the service of the vaishyas or shudras is considered the profession of dogs. Narada Muni also described that the symptom of a brahmana is controlled senses, the symptoms of a kshatriya are power and fame, the symptom of a vaishya is service to the brahmins and kshatriyas, and the symptom of a sudra is service to the three higher classes. Qualification for a woman is to be a very faithful and chaste wife. In this way, Narada Muni described the characteristics of higher and lower grades of people and recommended that one follow the principles of his caste or its hereditary occupation. One cannot suddenly give up a profession to which he is accustomed, and therefore it is recommended that one gradually be awakened. The symptoms of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra are very important. Therefore, one should be designated only by these symptoms, not by birth. Designation by birth is strictly forbidden by Narada Muni and all great personalities. Text 1. Śukadeva Goswami continued, after hearing about the activities and character of Prahlad Maharaj, which are adored and discussed among great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Yudhisthira Maharaj, the most respectful king among exalted personalities, again inquired from the great Saint Narada Muni in a mood of great pleasure. Shri Yudhisthira Vacha Bhagavan Shrotum Ar Ichchami Rinam Dharmam Sanatanam Vanasramachara Yutam Yat Puman Vidyate Param. Shri Yudhisthira Vacha. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, Bhagavan, O my Lord, Shrotum, to hear, Ichchami, I wish, Rinam, I'm human society, Dharmam, the occupational duties, Sanatanam, common and eternal. For everyone. Vana ashrama acharya yutam. Based on the principles of the four divisions of society and the four divisions of spiritual advancement. Yat, from which? Puman, people in general. Vidite, can enjoy very peacefully. Param, the supreme knowledge by which one can attain devotional service. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, my dear Lord, I wish to hear from you about the principles of religion by which one can obtain the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. I wish to hear about the general occupational duties of human society and the system of social and spiritual advancement known as Varnashram Dharma. Purport. Sanatana Dharma means devotional service. The word Sanatana refers to that which is eternal, that which does not change but continues in all circumstances. We have several times explained what the eternal occupational duty of the living being is. Indeed, it has been explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Srupahoy Krishnera Nityadas. The real occupational duty of the living entity is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if one prefers to deviate from this principle, he remains a servant, because that is his eternal position. But one serves Maya, the illusory material energy. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is an attempt to guide human society to serving the personality of Godhead, instead of serving the material world with no real profit. Our actual experience is that every man, animal, bird, and beast, indeed every living entity, is engaged in rendering service. Even through one's body or through one's superficial religion, even though one's body or one's superficial religion may change, every living entity is always engaged in the service of someone. Therefore, the mentality of service is called the eternal occupational duty. This eternal occupational duty can be organized through the institution of Varnashram, in which there are four Varnas, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and four ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Thus, Yudhisthira Maharaj inquired from Narada Muni about the principles of Sanatana Dharma for the benefit of human society. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, my dear Lord, I wish to hear from you about the principles of religion by which one can obtain the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. I wish to hear about the general occupational duties of human society and the system of social and spiritual advancement known as Varnashram Dharma. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskya Dhyade Sitarane. Throughout Prabhupada's books, Varnashram is mentioned repeatedly because it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam Jana Srikritina Arjuna Arta Jagnasi Artarati. Yeah, oh, that's all right. Chatura Vanya Maya Shistam Guna Karma Vivajaha Tasya Karataram Apyimam Vidya Karataram Avyam. According to the three modes of material nature, and the work is prescribed to those three modes, the corresponding four divisions of human society have been created by me. And although I am the creator of the system, I am yet unchangeable. In other words, there are three modes of nature. Some people are sleepy, some people are active, some people are intelligent, perceptive, conscious. And each one of them has a different propensity, a different inspiration, different capacity for activity. So that's an eternal principle. Now, Varnashram system is meant to help people elevate themselves from being sleepy to being active to being aware. The aim is to become aware. How to become aware? The principle means is by hearing from the right source. Or if we can't hear, well, in the Varnashram system, as we can see in the culture, previous culture, that everyone got the chance to hear. It wasn't just a few people who were hearing in a class. That hearing was presented, especially in the form of art and music and theater and stories and poetry. Culture. That was the culture. And the culture was all about Krishna. Even probably 50 years ago, all the movies in India were all about Krishna's pastimes. Therefore we have a whole, not all of them, but at least a good many of them. Therefore we have a whole collection of Nimai, Nadia, Sita's Wedding, Tukaram, so many different, they may not have been 100% accurate, but they were all about, centered around Krishna or Krishna's devotees. And even dance, for instance, was all about Krishna's pastimes. Therefore we have Bharatanatyam, and then they have that style of dance in Kerala where they dress up, where they really dress up, and they have Rukmini and Krishna, and I forget the name of it, Katta something. And therefore Prabhupada said people would work in their fields during the day, they produce the necessities of life, and then at night they all go and watch the performances. And then when they go into sleep, they dreamed about Krishna. So that's called culture. It's all centered around Krishna. But Nete Vidu Swartikatim Ivishnu. People don't believe in Krishna. They don't know anything about Krishna. Vatirana Krishna Parataksatova Mitobi Padyeta Griha Ratanam. They're taught from the beginning of life that you are the body and that if you want to work in the material world to find a solution to your problems, because everyone has problems, then find it on the Bali concept of life. Although there is no material solution to the ignorance. But because people are more and more absorbed in sinful activity, therefore they're more and more in ignorance. And they're more and more concerned about their gross and subtle bodies, and they're not looking for any other solution because they don't believe that they are a soul and that the real problem is they've forgotten who they are. But that can be revised simply by telling people, those people who have some interest, and there are many of them, about what the purpose of life is and how to achieve it, they can be introduced, especially our philosophy is so direct and straightforward and scientific that no honest person could deny it. No one could deny that their body is changing, but they're not changing. If one doesn't understand that, or one refuses to understand that, then better to go find someone else to talk to. If you can't see the most obvious thing, then how are you going to see anything more subtle than the most obvious thing? If you can't see that your body's changing, but you're not changing, then what hope is to understand anything else? What to speak if you think the whole world came about by accident? If you can't see how the planets are moving their orbits, how our digestive system is working without our direct involvement, how the material body is an amazing systems, all working together harmoniously to keep the soul within the body. If one can't appreciate that, if one thinks it all came about by evolution, then there's really no sense of explaining to people. Giving them prasadam is always the alternative. Chanting Hare Krishna is always there. But as far as philosophy, if one can't see the obvious, then how is he going to understand anything else? But Vanashram is there because some people are pious, as Krishna says. Some people, when they're afflicted, when they're suffering, which everyone is suffering, anyone who thinks they're not suffering is in ignorance. And Prabhupada was asked, what is the happiness in the mode of goodness? And Prabhupada said, if you think you're happy in the mode of goodness, then you're in ignorance. There is no happiness in the material world. Goodness means you realize that there's no happiness. And if you're happy, it's because you realize that actually you're a soul. You understand that you're a soul, so much of the anxiety goes away when we realize we're eternal. But those who are in ignorance and when they're suffering, they just do activities which increase their suffering, they're called mudhas. They're in ignorance, they're suffering, but their very activities will cause them more suffering and put them lower into the species of life in the future. Krishna calls them asuras. And why are they asuras? Because their only aim of life is to gratify their senses, either gross or subtly. And they're always envious. Tanaham dvishita kuran samsareshu naradamam shipram yajasram ashubam asrishveva yonishu. That those who are envious and mischievous, the lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast into the demoniac species of life. Asrim yoni apanam muda janmani janmani mama prapyaiva kundiya tato yante adamam githyam. After attaining such species of life, they gradually go down to the lower and lower species, and therefore they can never attain it. So what is their problem? Krishna says, Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tata lobas tasmat etam trayam chajet. Their servants, everyone is a servant, but most people are servants of lust, anger, greed, which produce illusion, and they're simply working in illusion. I am this body, the only purpose of life is to gratify the senses. If they had any remembrance of something higher, they forgot it long ago. And they have no real spiritual intelligence. Their only intelligence is how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Maybe in a very sophisticated and a so-called glorious way, that they give each other awards because you put forward a movie which really taught people, inspired people for eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But what's their problem? Why do they have this uncontrolled senses? Because they've rejected Shastra. Now, of course, they say, well, Shastra, there's just so many books, you know. Why should we believe in this book? Because Shastra tells you the truth. It tells you you're not this body. tells you that there's a supreme person, intelligence behind the material universe. Time is controlling everything. It's showing the obvious that practically every so-called other educated person is simply neglecting or unaware of. So that's Shastra, not some mandates or directions coming from above that makes no sense. One simply takes Manusamhita, then it makes no sense, especially in this age, all these rules and regulations, because one misses the essence. The essence is to help one fix the mind, regulate the mind and the senses so that one can see things as they actually are and not get controlled by lust, anger, and greed. All the details of Manusamhita are refinements of the attempt to get free from lust, anger, and greed. There's no other purpose. There's not serving these millions of thousands of at least instructions simply for the sake of serving them, or so that someone can be exploited by the higher caste. The Shudra has so many things he has to do just so it makes it easier for the higher caste to exploit them. But that's not really Manusamhita. Nowadays, people, they think they're free. They're free to do whatever they want. They're free to do whatever their masters tell them they can do. They're simply being manipulated, being indoctrinated into the Bali concept of life and being controlled. People who control the food supply, the information supply, the housing supply. Every supply is being controlled by some few people, and everyone else has to go along with them. They may think that they're free. They're free to go along with whatever they're told. So in this age, people are free, are allowed to gratify their senses because the whole material world is composed of people, simply different degrees of animalhood. And those who are controlling, the big controllers in this world, are generally the biggest animals with a little bit of intelligence due to their past pious activities, but are destined to the lowest species of life in the future. Therefore, Vanashram Dharma is there, but Vanashram Dharma is not really meant for the devotees. Vanashram Dharma is meant for those who can't take up the process of devotional service. Because by devotional service, one's senses and mind can be controlled if one is actually engaged in devotional service. If one is actually following the rules and regulations of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, and engaging one's activities in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there's no need for varna and ashram in this age. Although varna and ashram is always reflected, as I said before, if one is intelligent, then he can convince others that Krishna is God. And if one is a good organizer, he should organize the Sankirtan movement. If one has some resources, he should utilize those for the Sankirtan movement. So in this age, the Sankirtan movement takes the place of Varnashram, but everyone can engage in the Sankirtan movement according to their psychophysical nature. It's not that everyone is a Brahmin, everyone can preach, or everyone is a good organizer, or everyone has good at obtaining resources, or even anyone has a service attitude. But if one is not interested in the Sankirtan movement for one reason or another, then the only alternative is Varnashram. But Varnashram means there has to be duties. There has to be training. The rulers, the people who are managing, they have to be trained that things don't belong to them and that they have duties to protect people, not to exploit them. And the Brahmins have duties to preach the message of Krishna, to engage people in at least sacrifice, yajna, in some way. And the Vaishyas to provide the ingredients for sacrifice. And the shudra is to develop a proper service attitude, to help the sacrifice by assisting the others. But the whole aim is yagya vai Vishnu, and somehow, some way or another. Somehow or another, so that people can get the necessities of life, and when they're peaceful, they can hear about Krishna and make some advancements. So hearing about Krishna, whether it be through art, music, theater, poetry, writings, hearing about Krishna is always the essence of sacrifice in any age. Therefore, Krishna says, Abhayam sattva samshudira jnana yoga vyavyastiti danam dhamma shilagnas cha swadaya tapa arjava. There's always a sequence of advancement, beginning with swadaya, hearing. Hearing and practicing in a simple way is Krishna and Sudama, Vipra, Sudama were practicing when they were living with Sandipani Muni, collecting firewood, serving the Guru, hearing from him, learning the Vedas. Krishna and Balaram and Sudama, that's what they did in their childhood. And then Sudama and Krishna became householders. And their next duties were yagya, dana, and dhamma, sense and mind control, utilizing one's activities in Krishna's service, doing sacrifice for Krishna, and giving in charity for Krishna conscious purposes. Then when one becomes advanced, then one can learn tolerance. One can go into the vanaprastha and actually try to learn tolerance, not for tolerance sake, but to practice fixing the mind upon Krishna in any circumstance, so that at the time of leaving the body, even when the situation is very disturbing, one can still think about Krishna. That takes practice. And then the perfection is being fearless, cultivating spiritual knowledge, and being pure, free from all material sense gratifications, especially sex desire. So that's the perfection. Abhayam, fearlessness, because one realizes one is eternal. Jnana yoga, because one actually has transcendental knowledge. One understands that he's eternal, because there's Paramatma and Krishna. And Abhayam sattva samshudira. Sattva samshudira. When one is in transcendental bliss, ladini shakti, under the internal energy, then one is pure. All the illusory energy goes away if one is in ecstasy all the time. So that's perfection. We're supposed to become ecstatic in Krishna consciousness by thinking about Krishna and pure devotion. And that there's a system to gradually help people elevate to that platform. All along, hearing and serving Krishna is there somehow in some way or another. But ultimately the aim is to gradually control the senses and the mind, become detached from material desires, and become attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments?
So, according to what you said, we can see that nowadays society is far, far removed from those standards. And how could such a small group of people as Hare Krishna movement make some big change in that way?
Well, right now we're not making any change. Anything forward would be good. How to do it? Well, we have to become more than a small group of people. We have to find intelligent people, whatever intelligence they have, and convince them. We have to have something to convince them about. We have to become convinced ourselves. And then we have to have a system of introducing this philosophy and the practice of devotional service in such a way as that people could take it up without much inconvenience. And gradually make progress. So that's what we have to do. And then gradually some people will become, if we don't want people to come to the temple and become devotees, then we won't bother. It's too much of a botheration. You know, why'd you come here? You know, you're disturbing us. We're monks. Go home. Come back next yuga. Good luck. Now, if we want people to come and become devotees, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do it. And if we don't, then Krishna will give us intelligence how we ourselves can remain aloof from everyone else and criticize them for going to hell. Yes.
You said, Maharaj, that people follow Varnashrama system when they are peaceful, then they can follow their duties. They can do their duties or something like this. How did you say? When they're peaceful, so they can...
Well, it's more like if they do their duty, then they'll become peaceful. Like and if they're peaceful,
and
then they can hear about Krishna.
Krishna, yes. So if in the society of devotees, so this sometimes this peacefulness is not there. We can see that the devotees also they're disturbed. So what's the... Because they're trying to hear about Krishna and all the things, but...
Yeah, because we're attached to eating, sleeping, mating, defending.
So that's the problem in the process, not following the...
Yeah, the only disturbance is that we're in the bodily concept of life. Otherwise, there's no disturbance. So we practice focusing the mind upon Krishna and regulate, or at least, our eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Then gradually the disturbances will go away.
Thank you much.
All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.